Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Over the past several weeks, church, we've been doing a series that I've entitled The New Norm. And this morning, I want to continue, if you will. I pray that you have been blessed by the word. But there's something that I want us to kind of note, and something that I want us to notice is that this whole thing, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. Amen? How many of you believe that today? So what the enemy means for evil, the Lord can always turn for good. That is, the Lord can inhabit bad circumstances so much so that he is able to move and he's able to work in the lives of his children, in the lives of people in the earth, in the lives of those who possess faith and who believe in him. He's able to do something that is almost unmatched. It's almost unheard of, the way God is able to, you know, provide for you, the way the Lord has sustained you, the way God has kept you healthy. Amen. How many of you are thankful for those things? Amen. God has kept you well. I pray that he's provided for your family. I pray that he's continued to just bless you in ways that you would have never thought. And so we're thankful that the Lord has sustained us. Amen. We're thankful that God has done a work in our life. And so I'm truly grateful, church, because I feel like the Lord has set us up for revival. Amen. I said, I feel like God is setting us up for revival. This isn't just some kind of like, hey, we're coming back to church and it's going to be the same old, amen. I believe that God is actually setting up the people, his children. He's setting you up for something completely new. Now, how many of you know that when we face obstacles and when we face trials, when we go through seasons where we have been tested in our faith, it's also God can strengthen us, amen? It's so the Lord can build up something in your life so that he can perfect you in the faith. But how many of you know that he strengthens us because it could mean that there's a stronger storm coming? Amen? It could mean that there's something greater that's even going to be more challenging. And so that's not to strike fear into the hearts of you. That's not to strike fear into the hearts of his people. It's simply to say, let's take advantage of the season. Amen. Let's take advantage of the season. I pray that you've been praying at home. Amen. I pray that your prayer life has changed, your time of reading the Bible. Because listen, I hope you weren't just, you know, living in a desert at home and you finally got to church to drink some water. But now, you know, I pray that that's not what happened in your life, but rather you were able to tap into the fountain of God. You were able to tap into what God was doing and see the Lord begin to work in your home in greater measure, to work in your life in greater measure. I think it was like week two of quarantine. My children, you know, are growing in prayer. They're growing in the Lord, and they're just seeing God move, and they're trusting God more. And their little prayers are so innocent. They're so childlike, and it's so awesome because, you know, we have, you know, nightly prayer. You know, we cast out this virus. You know, we speak faith into our family. We just thank God for his provision. Amen. And I pray that you're doing the same. But I think it was on the second, you know, week that we were quarantined, my daughter Layla, my older one, she started complaining and she had this side ache. And it was getting to the point where she was really, really bothered by it. And I said, okay, well, you know, I'll pray for you, and then you know, we'll, you know, take some medicine or something that we might have to hopefully make you feel better. And then instantly I heard the Lord tell me to tell Audrey to pray for her. I said, okay, Audrey, give me your hand. I said, place it right there. I said, I want you to pray for your sister. And as only as a six-year-old can, and she likes to kind of use a baby voice when she prays, she said, thank you, Jesus. I pray Layla's pain goes away. In Jesus' name, amen. My daughter looked at me with these big eyes and she goes, I feel better. And I said, huh? She goes, I feel better. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, we need to take limits off God once again. I said, we need to take limits off the Lord. We need to remove our thinking from thinking it's only supposed to be a certain way. Jesus never operated with limitations. Amen? He never operated with restriction. He never operated in limitation to where it wasn't, there was no situation that was impossible. It's literally how it was. There was no situation that was impossible. Anything that he could have faced, he would always challenge his disciples. He says, listen, don't you have faith? They were in that rocky boat and they were getting tossed all back and forth. And he challenged them. He says, oh, ye of little faith. Where's your faith? He said, God, we're going to die in this storm. God, we're going to die in this pandemic. And he says, where's your faith? He would always have them elevate their faith. He would never speak to what looked impossible as something that could never be done. But he would say, trust in God. Trust in God. And church, the more that you trust in God, the more that you believe, the more that you are filled with the Holy Spirit, the more you see, church, that what looks impossible actually becomes possible through him. Amen? Amen. This is the way that the Holy Spirit works. And so over the last couple of weeks, I want to just touch on this for a second. Over the last few weeks, I've been teaching this, and this is where I feel the Lord is moving us. He's moving us in certain phases. And one of those things is he's shifting us from temple religion to the revelation of relationship. To the revelation of a daily walk with Jesus. I want you to be so in love with Jesus. I want you to be so connected to Jesus that you don't know where the branch begins and the vine ends. That is, your life is so connected to him that you can't almost see the difference, but you are radiating his glory. You're radiating his love wherever you go. Not just simply have the bumper sticker on your car, or not just simply say, well, I occupy this pew at church. But so much more than that, where the Bible says that Jesus said it was the very word of God. It was the very words of life that would sustain him. And I pray that it is the same way with you, that it is the very word of God that has become your sustenance. You can't live without the word. Jesus said, man does not live on bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is our life source, church. This is how he is calling you and I to live. That every single moment of every single day, you would hang on to every single word that the Lord speaks to your life. It wouldn't just be simply waiting for the pastor to give you a word, though that's part of it. Or it wouldn't just simply be, you know, scrolling through your social media and seeing something that inspires you. But the truth is that you have access to this King of Kings, to this Lord of Lords for yourself. And so I believe the Lord is moving us from just a simple temple religion. That is a rigorous routine of rules and things. And he's shifting us now to where you and I have a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about this morning? I also believe that the Lord is setting us up for a great move of the release of the kingdom of heaven. What does that look like? The kingdom operates through people. Amen. I said the kingdom operates through people. Just as the same way that Jesus came and he modeled, he lived his life, he showed what it looked like to be full of God. As a man, he showed us what it looked like to be full of the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the world, to walk through difficult circumstances, and to walk through trying seasons. And he showed us what it looked like to completely be dependent on the Lord. And so I believe, church, that the Lord is going to release through you. Everyone say, through me. Oh, that wasn't very confident. I said, the Lord is going to release through you. Say, through me. Believe it. Through you. You might say, Pastor Duke, you don't know what I've done. Guess what? You better remember what he did. Well, Pastor Duke, you don't know how many things that I've said wrong. There's no way that God could use me. God used a donkey. You're much better. I said, you're much better. It's not about your qualifications. It's about your surrender. I said, it's not about what you think makes you qualified to serve him, how you think you're ready to do something for him. All you've got to do is surrender. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I am supposed to daily take up my cross and follow him. I am supposed to lay down my rights to my life, lay down the rights to my desires and my plans and say, Lord, what do you have? I surrender. I surrender to you. Some of you young people are looking at me like, Pastor Duke, you're crazy. That's okay. I'm full of Jesus. He makes me just a little bit that way. And you might be thinking, well, you know what? You don't know what my background is, how I've done all these things, and there's no way God would ever approve me. There's no way that he won't. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus covers a multitude of sins. That the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross for you and I makes you qualified. All you've got to do is believe it. All you have to do is come to the revelation that the work is finished. Maybe some of you don't believe that. But come to the revelation that the work is finished. When you finally know that you don't have to earn your way into heaven. But it was through God's grace in your life that he gave you a second and a third and a fourth and a millionth chance. That you finally surrender and say, Lord, I can't control this flesh on my own. So Lord, I just receive your spirit in me. The moment that you get to that point is the moment that all of a sudden you become this yielded vessel for the kingdom of heaven to flow through. That every life you come in contact with, all of a sudden, it will be like a virus, but it'll be much better than a virus. Everyone that you come in contact with will be affected by the presence of the Almighty God that lives in your life. But you need to believe that. Amen? You need to understand, and you need to know that that's exactly where the Lord is leading us. I believe the Lord is also moving his people into a new season of an outpour of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That is what is happening right now. Next week on the 31st is actually declared a day of Pentecost. This is something that's on the Jewish calendar. This is something that happens that is literally a day of Pentecost. It happens after the feasts and all these things. And so I heard a prophetic word recently that was literally saying this, was that on the 31st that the Holy Spirit was going to move in a sovereign way. How many of you know that sometimes the Holy Spirit moves because we press it and we pray and we ask, amen. But then there's other times where the Holy Spirit just begins to fall on his own. That God doesn't need anybody's permission. Amen. I said that God doesn't need anybody's permission and he just begins to fall in his own special way. And so I believe that there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and that is going to be for those who have completely surrendered their life to him. You know, I'm okay that the building's not full today. I'm okay that there might be some of us, because the Lord does special things with few people. Amen. I said the Lord does amazing things through few people. Amen. You see, we don't need a full building to see the Holy Spirit move in such a way, church, that a huge crowd of people needed. And so as I get into my message today, I want us to understand this. Is that the Lord, whenever there is a genuine, just outbreak of the Holy Spirit, a genuine move of the Holy Spirit, there's repentance, and there's rebirth, and there's a revival. And this happens because there's a select few that have chosen to not give up. There's a select few that have chosen that have said, listen, you know, Pastor Duke, I'm going to contend for this thing until it hits. I'm going to believe for this until it happens. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to wait for the Lord's power to move. I'm going to trust and believe that God is going to do something powerful and mighty. But listen, it happens for those, church, who I believe are locked into him, those who have said yes to him, those who have completely surrendered their life. And so the Lord is going to move us, church, into this revival season where it's not going to be just another service, or it's not just going to be about getting emotional, but I feel the Lord is moving us into a new way of life, and that is through a revival culture. What does a revival culture resemble? What does a revival culture look like? Church, it's not just revival for the people in the building. It's the Holy Spirit resting upon each and every person to commission them for the work of God. It's the Holy Spirit resting upon hearts of individuals, hearts of families, just hearts of people, to where they themselves have repented and surrendered, to where they themselves have been born again and have the revelation of the Lord, but they go out and they spread the fire wherever they go. They go out and they spread the power of the Holy Spirit wherever they go. And so on the day of Pentecost, I want us to understand something. The results of the outpour of the Holy Spirit was a fullness of heaven's power rested on each of them, resulting in a new sound, resulting in a new roar of repentance, rebirth, and revival. And so the Bible says that when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120 believers who waited for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. And the gift that had finally descended upon those that desired its release. And so the Bible goes on to say that the sound was so great, that the sound was so mighty, it was so big, that there were some God-fearing Jews that were in the city at this time. And the Bible says that people came from all over in wonder of what was happening. I pray that the Lord restores our roar, that the church wouldn't be some secondary opiate, but it would rise up to be at that place where God has called it to be, like a city on a hill, where everyone beneath and below can see the light of Christ shining in the darkness. This is how the New Testament church was established. Leonard Ravenhill says this. He says, you never have to advertise a fire. I'll say that one more time. You never have to advertise a fire. It says everyone comes running when there is a fire. It says, likewise, if your church is on fire, you will not have to advertise it because the community will already know it. We live in a place, we live in a time, we live in a season, church, where this is the crux of every ministry. Where all they're trying to do is get known on social media. All they're trying to do is put flyers and billboards up saying, hey, come for our religious experience. But when there's a fire in the house, church, I said, when the fire of the Holy Ghost hits, guess what? You don't have to put up a flyer. You don't have to put up a banner. You don't have to get on social media to tell everybody there's a fire. They're going to see the smoke, and they're going to see the power of God moving in a mighty way, because this is how the Lord has set it up to be. Amen? This is what God will do. The community will see, church. And so the establishment of the New Testament church wasn't an advertisement. It was an outpour of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. If I just be exalted, if I just be put in my rightful place, if I just be prioritized over everything. You see, sometimes we come to this house and it's more about us and it's less about him. Because you need a miracle, you need a breakthrough, you need God to touch you, you need God to fix your home, you need God to do all those things. And guess what? The Lord is concerned. And guess what? The Lord has compassion. And guess what? He is gracious and he is loving. But my Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Every single thing that you need, if it's restoration in your marriage, if it's the feeding of your family, if it's for some kind of breakthrough in your business, whatever it is that you need only happens when you've sought him first. It only happens when you have prioritized his kingdom, church. But dare I say that churches have spent more money on advertising themselves and manufacturing religious experiences that somehow God wasn't the attraction that brought people to him anymore. Dare I say it was because they held a concert or they had some fun event for the family. And those are all awesome things. Those are all good things. But they're never good unless if they replace God. That's a good time to say amen. I said none of those things are good, church, if they replace the movement of the genuine experience with God. More people fall away because they are deceived into thinking that simply by being in the building they are saved. By simply attending and snapping the Sunday selfie, click. But instead, we have to understand that we are living in a time, church, and I say this tenderly, not to strike fear into your life, but we are living in a time where the Holy Spirit is going to be everything that you've got. Because if resource runs out, are you going to turn from God? If your bank account is empty, are you going to turn from God? There will come a time, church, when all we have is the Holy Spirit. And he better be all that you cling on to today and forevermore. The marking of those who waited in the upper room was a tongue of fire. In Acts chapter 2, if you have your Bibles, you can just open them up, Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to be kind of going through that moment in Scripture a little bit. The marking of those who waited in the upper room was a tongue of fire. It would be the very instrument that would change the world around it, church. And so a tongue of fire in yielded and surrendered hearts is what the Lord wants to do in every single one of our lives. Now notice something here. God did not choose the mind. God did not choose the heart or the hands or our feet. But he chose the tongue. Because the Bible says from it comes life and death, blessings and curses. Now, I want us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit today because I believe the Lord is going to reveal something to us today. Acts chapter 4 and verse 33. I'm going to read maybe a little bit different version than the one that you have, but hopefully it's the same in here today. Acts 4 and 33 says, the apostles gave powerful testimonies about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great measures of grace rested upon them all. I want us to just highlight in your Bible powerful testimonies or witnesses, witnessing, some translations say. The apostles gave a powerful witness or apostles gave a powerful testimony. Just to highlight that, Acts 4:33, just highlight that little phrase. Acts 1:8, if you have your Bible, just turn a couple pages back. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And he says, and you will be my witnesses. Everyone say, I will be his witness. That only happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. A church that doesn't witness is a church that probably doesn't have the Holy Spirit. But if you have the Holy Spirit burning in your life and you have surrendered to him, witness just comes. You can't control it. It just happens. It's just what flows out of your life. You become a living stone. You become a living testimony before God. And so the only way that you can testify is by being the witness of an encounter. The only way that you can testify about God is by being the witness of an encounter. Now think about this with me just for a second. Unless you've encountered the Lord, unless you've been showered with his power, can you witness of him who saved you? I know this might be a tough subject for some people because they say, well, Pastor Duke, you know, that's just not for me. Stop disqualifying yourself. Stop disqualifying yourself because if you love God and the Holy Spirit is in your life, it just happens. The witness just happens. No one has to tell me when I go to the grocery store whether or not I should talk to somebody about Jesus or not. If the Holy Spirit prompts my heart, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. Amen? It's not just, oh, well, they brought up the conversation, so now I'm going to be politically correct and I can bring it up. No. We need to be spiritually correct. Amen? I said we need to be spiritually correct. We need to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling us to do. And so, but I have to ask this question and make us think this thought just for a second. But could the church, the people of God, completely be missing the point? I want us to think about this just for a second. What do I mean? That is, you desire to see revival, which results in a new fire, in repentant hearts, in a witnessing church, and a born-again people. But the truth is a born-again people can only be birthed from personally encountering Jesus. I said from personally encountering Jesus. Now I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want you to raise your hand, but you can answer it in your heart today. How many of you have encountered Jesus? Blessings come in all forms, but encounters are different. Somebody might have given you $5 because they thought you needed some money. Well, that's a blessing, but it's different than an encounter. Somebody might have, you know, brought you food at a time in your life where you were going through hardships. Well, that's a blessing, but it's completely different than an encounter. Or maybe you've seen your business all of a sudden it's been more successful in this season, and you say, wow, well, you know, that's awesome. That's a blessing, but it's different than an encounter. An encounter is a circumstance that marks you for life. An encounter with Jesus is so powerful, and you'll know when you've had one. But encounter with Jesus is so powerful that it shifts you from ever thinking that turning back is a possibility. I said it shifts your heart from ever thinking that going back to your old life is something worth doing. And so when you've encountered the presence of the Almighty God, church, when you've encountered the Holy Spirit, it marks you. It's as if a seal was put on your life. That wherever you go, you are known by that seal. Wherever you go, you have this marking in your life. And it's such a powerful, powerful experience that I believe you can't ever shake that experience. You can't ever deny that experience. You can't ever, you know, forget that experience. I shared this quote some time ago, and it says this. It says, our hunger for revival must go beyond our desire for simply a move of God. But revival is the result of hungering for God himself. See, we can all agree and say, oh, we want a mighty move of God. But mighty moves happen through people that have surrendered and said, Lord, I just want you. I just want you. God, if I get you in the exchange, if I don't hunger after things or experiences, but if I get you in the exchange, Jesus, then guess what? I'll never turn away. I'll never turn away. Lord, even if my relationships don't get fixed, God, even if I still deal with that thorn in my side, Lord, or that thing that I'm dealing with in my body, Lord, as long as I get you, Jesus, as long as I get you, I'll be satisfied. The 120 in the upper room were under their own lockdown, and they risked it all by going public. I have to commend you today. I have to commend you today. Because I believe it takes a certain amount of faith to have come out today. I really do. I commend you. And that's not demeaning anyone else's faith that has chosen to stay home. That's not what I'm saying. But the 120 that were in that upper room on the day of Pentecost were under their own lockdown. And they had this private encounter with the Holy Spirit, and their encountering of the Holy Spirit, it awakened them, it empowered them, and it filled them, church, with the courage to finally go public in the midst of tyranny. Now, there's something that we have to understand about this day of Pentecost. Jesus had just been given a mock trial and been executed by the Roman government. You remember that? Jesus was crucified on the cross for many people to see, and they began to hide in fear. They began to go back to their places, to their dwellings, and they began to just shun out and say, you know what, we don't know if we should basically, you know, say that we were associated with him. And so some people just fled in fear. But it was during this time, church, it was during that time that they had executed him, they had crucified him. The Bible says that his followers were basically fair game for mobs and for corrupt leaders, because they were energized by demons because they wanted to kill the other ones too. If you follow Jesus and they saw you associating with Jesus, they were going to come after you too. And so I want us to note something, and your scripture teaches this, that the Bible says that Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time. This is after he had been resurrected into heaven. The Bible says that he reappeared. How many of you read that in scripture, right? And so the Bible says that he reappears to them, but by the day of Pentecost, which was 40 days later, there was only a remnant of 120 that were left. He appeared to 500 plus. But for whatever reason, over the course of the next 40 days, many fell away. For whatever reason, over the course of the next several days, many of them fell because maybe they were fatigued, or others were, you know, because of fear, or, you know, what have you. But the truth is that the 120, they soldiered on. They moved forward. They didn't lose heart. So you know what, Jesus, we're going to trust you. We're going to keep moving forward. And so the Bible says that they were rewarded with an inexpressive glory on that day of days. Amen. They were rewarded, church. They were rewarded in such a way. And I have to say this, the God of revival won't come to the uninterested, the fearful, or the fatigued. I said, the God of revival isn't going to show up to those people, but he's going to descend upon those who have chosen to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? I once heard a statement that said, fear looks like wisdom to those in unbelief. Think about that just for a second. Fear looks like wisdom to those living in unbelief. I want to share this quick story with you before we finish today. The Bible says on one occasion that Jesus had gone away to a solitary place, and he had gone away to pray, and he had gone away to spend time with the Lord. And the Bible says that Peter and the disciples, they went to find him because there was a lot of people that were looking for him. There was a lot of people that were after him, and they wanted to know what he was doing. They wanted the miracles, and they wanted the signs, and some people were just seeking him for breakthrough. And so the Bible says that Jesus stayed in that region for a few days, and he went on to preach, and he went on to teach, and he went on to just, he touched the lives of these people. He was casting out demons in that region, and he happened to cross paths with a man that had leprosy. Now, leprosy was a disease that had affected the skin. It was so feared back in those days that those who had contracted the disease had to walk around town shouting, unclean. Everywhere they went, they had to shout out that they were unclean, because they have this disease that if they rub shoulders with somebody else, if they touch somebody else, if their saliva contacted somebody else, then they would make them unclean as well. It was this don't touch policy. It was this don't have any contact policy. And so these people that were stricken with this disease of leprosy, they had to go out everywhere that they went simply saying, hey, listen, I'm unclean. I'm unclean. They had to keep distance. Nobody could get close to them. Nobody could get near them. And the Bible says that Hebrew word for leprosy was zarasat. And it says this, it related to the word that means trouble or affliction. So interesting enough, that word in the Hebrew, it means that it not only affected people, but it could affect garments and it could affect buildings too. Doesn't this sound awfully familiar to you? And in Hebrew, the root cause of this spiritual disease is lashon hara, which literally means evil tongue. Lashon hara is evil speech. It's characterized by gossip and slander against one another. And so Jesus encounters a man that's full of leprosy in Mark chapter 1. And the Bible says that he came to Jesus and he begged him to heal him of the leprosy, saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And the Bible says that Jesus was so moved with compassion that he did the unthinkable. He didn't take him to the hospital. He didn't give him an injection. He didn't give him a pill. He didn't tell him to go wash himself off. Jesus does the unthinkable. The Bible says that he touched the man, saying, I am willing, be clean. And immediately the man was made clean. I said, immediately the man was made clean. And Jesus gave him these instructions. He says, don't tell anyone. He goes, but to go show yourself to the priest and fulfill the sacrifices and offerings that Moses had declared for cleansing as a testimony to them. As a testimony to the fearful. You see, the priest wouldn't touch him. The priest wouldn't have anything to do with him. And so Jesus is saying, look, you've come to the one who know disease, who know sickness, who know evil, who know anything that you can encounter. He does not fear. He is not shaken by it. He is not moved by it, but he is simply knows that if you just get within the master's touch, that if you just receive a touch from the master, if you just receive a touch from Jesus, then you can be made well and you can be made clean. But the Bible says instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. You see, he was given a command. He said, listen, you need to go show yourself to the priest, but he couldn't contain it. He could not contain the fact that he had just been touched by Jesus. This man who had lived his life in being incomplete and being unwhole, this man who had lived his life of going around in shame, he couldn't do what Jesus said, but he said, I've got to tell somebody. I've got to show somebody that I was unworthy. No one else would deal with the situation that I had. And he began to spread the news, the good news that Jesus had encountered him. Now, church, I want us to understand this. It's quite believable that the sins of our nation today, the cursing and the backbiting and the slander and the gossip, have manifest themselves in the form of a disease. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Blessings and curses flow from the power of the tongue. Are you following me this morning? Church, it's quite possible that God wants to heal these tongues once again. It's quite possible that the Lord wants these tongues to repent so that the cloven tongue of fire can rest upon every one of his children. It's quite possible that this very thing that we're dealing with today, that this very evil tongue, it will prevent a witnessing people. That a gossiping mouth will prevent a people from being unified. That the cursing of others stops the worship of God. But everything can be changed in an instant touch of the Master's hand. We are living in a season, and you know what I'm talking about, where gossip and slander and backbiting are worse than ever before. Can somebody say amen? You cannot get on the internet without seeing argument after argument. Children of God waging war with people over politics. Leave it alone. Leave it alone. I serve the God who controls the government. And that's not the president. I serve the God who controls the government. The Bible says all authority has been given to him. I thank God for the city officials. I thank God for our leaders. Amen. I pray for our nation's leaders, as should you. But we need to understand this today. That it could be because of sinful tongues. It could be because of sinful mouths, church, that we are leading ourselves into a season. That we have gotten ourselves at this certain point. But if you're touched by the Master, if you're touched by the Lord, everything can be changed in an instant. All mankind can be cleansed if they would only encounter the presence of the Lord. For Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 5, it says this, because I am a man, and this is Isaiah speaking. He says, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But he goes on to say, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It says, then the one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with tongs, and from taken with the tongs and from touched my mouth with it. He had taken it from the altar of God and he touched his mouth with it. And he says, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Just one touch. Everyone say, just one touch. Just one touch cleanses you from the sins of an evil tongue. Just one touch from the Master cleanses your life from any sickness or disease. Just one encounter with the power of the Holy Ghost completely shifts your life, church. And so as it was both with the leper and with Isaiah, that there were encounters with the Lord, they resulted in the witnessing of their tongue. Isaiah became a prophet to the nations. On that day of Pentecost, those who had waited for the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit fell on the 120, they instantly became witnesses of God's goodness. But you'll never be able to witness of an encounter that you didn't have. I said, you'll never be able to witness of an encounter that you have not had. They were sealed and they were marked by an encounter that would propel the church forward with such a powerful witness, church, that more than 3,000 people were added to their number on that day. You see, that's what the Holy Ghost does. It's not about our work. It's about our surrender just to work for the King. Amen? But when you have been marked with an encounter, church, something that has sealed your life, God changes you forever. I have to share this and then I'll be done. Several years ago, I had the most powerful encounter and it marked me. That's the only way that I can say it. Many years ago, our church used to face this direction and the altar used to be on that side and the entrance was back here and it was shifted around a little bit different than it is now. But I was with a few brothers in Christ. I was with Brother Santiago. Many of you know Brother Santiago. I was with Brother Gibby. Many of you know Brother Gibby. I was with Brother Ruben. I was with Brother Rene. And we were here after like a, I don't know, some rehearsal or practice or something. And what happened next, I can't even say that we were, you know, really asking for it or we really knew what we got ourselves into. But we began to pray. We just unified and we just said, you know, Lord, just come. Just come as you, as only you can, Lord. Just do what you're going to do, Father. And I can tell you without a shadow of doubt, you've read in the Word where the Bible describes the Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory of God. The Shekinah glory, church, no man can stand in. When the Shekinah glory of God hits a room or hits a building or falls and rests on a people, the instant response is bowing down. And I have to say on this day, I don't even remember how long the encounter lasted. I think it was an hour or so. But all I know is when the Holy Spirit came into the room, the instant response was bowing down into worship. It was coming back to the proper posture before God, which is a life surrendered and bowed down before Him. A life that says, Lord, I am living for nothing else but You. I'm completely humbled in Your presence, Lord. And from out of that encounter, church, it was a settling of the presence of God in the room. I can't describe it to you and do it justice. But all I know is that the weight of the glory of God was so heavy. It was so heavy. It was so powerful. It was so moving that it marked me forever. And I've never forgotten that day. You know what, church? I believe the Lord is moving us into more days like that. Not just for a day, but for a lifestyle. And when you know you've been touched by God, when you know the hand of God has been upon your life, there is nothing that will change it. You're 1,000% sure that you had an encounter with the Almighty God. And so my heart, church, is so moved that there would be this kind of move of the Holy Spirit, that the church wouldn't even be able to stand in God's presence. But all you'd be able to do is bow down once again before your Maker, before the King of Kings and before the Lord of Lords, amen, to take your rightful posture before the glory of God, before the presence of God. Because listen, it's from the posture of a servant that we will receive a king. I said it's from the posture of a heart that is in a servant's position that you will receive a king. And so this morning, I'm not going to ask you to stand. This morning, I'm not going to ask you to stand today. But I'm going to ask right now as the Holy Spirit begins to move. I want every single person in this room. I want every single person in this room right now to just bow. To just bow right now before the presence of the Almighty God. You can kneel at your seat or you can just bow your head. But I want you right now to begin to call upon the Holy Spirit. I want you to lift your voices. Come on, every single one in this room today. I want you to begin to call upon the Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, we need you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, begin to sweep through. Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. Come on, church, pray. We just begin to invite you, Lord, into this place right now, Father God, for a move of your Holy Spirit. For a move, Lord. You're setting us up, Father God, Lord, for a new season, God, that is less about us and is all about you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Come on, lift your voice. Do not be concerned about your neighbors. Lift your voice. I said, do not be concerned about your neighbors. Lord, we let not, Father God, our own freedom, God, be dictated, Lord, by the people sitting next to us, Father. But Lord, we just, Father, step in fully, Lord, right now to what you're doing. We step in fully right now to this moment, Father. We ask, Lord, for encounters. We ask, Lord, for a new wind, Father God, of your Holy Spirit, Father God, to begin to blow right now. To begin to move, Father God, Lord, all over this room right now, Holy Spirit. I feel you in this place right now, God. I feel, Lord, right now, God, that you are doing a work, Father. You're preparing our hearts today, Father. And so, Lord, we ask you to move. We ask you to move. We ask you to move. We ask you to move, Holy Spirit. We ask you to move in this place, Lord. We ask you to move in this place right now, Holy Spirit. We ask you to move right now, Holy Spirit. Father, we posture our hearts, God. We prepare ourselves, Father God, Lord, just, Father God, to, Lord, humble ourselves before you today. Holy Spirit, we love you. 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 Lord, you're moving. Lord, I feel you moving, Lord. And Father, we want more than a drop, Lord. I said, we want more than a drop. Lord, we want an outpour. I said, we want more than a drop today, God. We want an outpour, Lord. We want more than a drop, Father God. We want heaven's rain, Father God, to begin to move, Lord, in this place right now. Begin to rest on your children, Holy Spirit. Begin to rest on your children right now, Holy Spirit. Begin to rest, Lord, on your children right now, Holy Spirit. Begin to rest on your children right now, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you, we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you. Holy Spirit, we honor you right now. Holy Spirit, we honor you right now. Mark us. Everyone, just make that your prayer. Say, mark me, Lord. Mark me, Lord. Yes, Holy Spirit. Make him your desire today. I said, make him your desire. Don't desire the fire, desire him. Desire him, Jesus. Jesus, you're all that we need today. You're all that we want, Holy Spirit. You're all that we want right now. You're all that we need, Holy Spirit. You're all that we need in this place, Lord. You're all that we need. You're all that we need. Father, we wait for your mark. We wait for your mark, Holy Spirit. Spirit, we wait for you. We wait for you, Lord, right now. In every home, Father. In every home, Father, fall on someone right now. Holy Spirit, fall on someone. Lord, we remove our flesh. We remove our pride. Father, remove our will, Lord. To be, Father God, completely, Lord, enveloped by your goodness right now. To be completely yielded, Father, to you right now. Because unless, Father, we move forward in the Spirit, your word says, God, that it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by your Spirit, says the Lord. You're calling us, Father God, back to this place, Lord, where it is your Spirit that leads, your Spirit that guides, your Spirit, God, that pours over us today. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, in this house today, God, everyone watching right now, that you, Holy Spirit, would give them encounters, God. You would give them encounters, Father God, from this day forward, God. Lord, you would give them encounters, Father God, Lord, things, Lord, that they are crying out for, God, things, Lord, that they might not even understand, Lord, but I pray right now, God, that as they seek you, and as they seek your face, God, as they seek first your kingdom, Lord, that you would begin to do something in them. You would begin to do something in their life, Father God, today. You would begin to do something, Lord, that marks them, Father God, from this day forward, God. Because, Lord, you're not calling us, Father God, simply, God, back to temple religion, Lord. You're calling us, Father God, back to a place, Lord, where we are 100% yielded to you. And so, Holy Spirit, we just ask, Lord, and we remind ourselves of your word in Colossians, Father God, that we put to death, God, our earthly nature. I said, we put to death, God, our earthly nature, Lord, so that we can live, Father God, fully in the Holy Spirit. We put to death, Father God, the things, Lord, that we wage war against in our flesh, Father God, Lord. Lust, Father God, of the eyes, Lord Jesus. Curses of the tongue, Father God. We put to death, Father God, every single thing, Lord, that could be hindering us right now in this moment, God, from, Lord, receiving you, Jesus. And so, Father God, whatever it is, Lord, whatever, Father, sin could be in the way, Father God, we ask, Lord, right now, Lord Jesus, that you would just touch every single person, Father, with your hand right now. Holy Spirit, touch, Father God, every believer in this place right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, Father, that sin would be forgiven today. That our hearts would be cleansed, Father God. That, Lord, these tongues, Father God, would no longer be, Father God, a tongue that blesses and curses, Lord. But Father God, they would be tongues, Father God, that speak forth, Lord, your word. And that, Father God, as they speak forth your word, Father God, you empower our witness, Lord. And so, Jesus, God, cleanse our tongues, Father. If there's been gossip, if there's been slander, if there's been backbiting, if there's been judgment, Lord, you desire to free us and cleanse us today. I said, you desire to free us and cleanse us today. So just like you did with the prophet Isaiah, Lord, do with us today, God. Touch these lips, Father God, that they might be a witness of your power and of your goodness and of your glory, Lord. Father, we trust and we believe. I said we trust and we believe. We trust and we hold fast to every single promise, Lord, that you've made for us. But Father, we don't get it, Lord, backwards, Lord. We don't get it twisted. But we will seek first your kingdom, God, and all of your righteousness. We will seek first your kingdom, God, and all of your righteousness. And all of these things, Lord, will be added to us. So God, come back to the center. I know that he's doing that right now. I know that he's doing that right now. He is centering somebody's life back around him and not the other way around. Lord, we don't add you to what we're doing, Father God. We surrender to what you are doing, Lord. And so, Father, I believe, Lord Jesus, that you're going to revive the witness in the church once again. I said you're going to revive the witness, Lord, of every heart, of every person today. And so, Holy Spirit, we thank you. I pray right now, Lord Jesus, if there's somebody listening, God, in this room, God, or watching online, Father, that does not know you, has never had an encounter with you, I pray right now, Lord, that you are stirring their heart, God. You are stirring their heart, Father God, to move after you, to move closer to you, Lord. And so I pray for them right now, Lord Jesus, God, for every listening ear, Lord. If they, Lord, were once far away, God, if they have fallen back, Lord, to their old way of life, whatever the case, Lord, I pray today in the name of Jesus that they would come back to you, Lord. And so, Father, we pray over them, Lord Jesus. And if you're listening right now, I want you to just repeat this prayer after me. Just simply say, Jesus. Just say, Jesus. I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that God raised you from the dead for my sins. Your blood was shed for my sin. And today, I believe that you are risen. I acknowledge right now that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And from this day forward, I am saved, I am born again, and I am filled with the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray, Lord, for anyone, Lord, that prayed that prayer, God, this morning, God, online, Father God, or in the house today, Lord. I pray for them, Lord Jesus, God, that, Lord, you're going to do a new work in their life and that, Lord, you are going to just, Lord, set them, God, on this journey, God, of a new relationship with you. And so, Father God, they are no longer, God, orphans, Lord, but they are now children of God. They are no longer away, Father God, but now they have been brought into the family of God. And so we rejoice over that today. We rejoice over that right now. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, God. And we just thank you, God, for your moving, Lord, and from your presence in this place, Lord, right now. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says that the righteous one will live by faith. Amen. The Lord says this. He says, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. He says, because we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we belong to those who have faith and are saved. Amen. Are you saved? Are you blessed this morning? Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.